The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We had Dave actually hold on line three there through the break. And good morning, Dave. Thanks for holding on. Appreciate it.
No problem, Alan. I want to display my ignorance of fishing.
Oh, please.
Okay. Well, I guess I've always heard like fishing line has some sort of rating, a test, and it's in pounds.
That's correct, yes. It's based on the diameter of the line primarily.
The diameter, okay.
The diameter of their line and what the line material is made from.
So if they say something's 8-pound test, maybe that's a ridiculous number.
That's the tested breaking strength of the line.
They pull on it, and once they reach 8 pounds of tension, I guess, or whatever, the line snaps.
Well, kind of. I mean, there are fish that are, if here's what I would suggest. You go to the International Game Fish Association, IGFA, and I think it's
okay.
I think it's IGFA.org or something like that. And you will see that virtually every species has a series of world records caught on series of line tests. Okay. I used to know a fella that was a car salesman who had the state record for bluefish when bluefish were here, caught on 2-pound test line, and that fish was 16 pounds.
Oh.
Okay, so that doesn't necessarily mean if you have an 8-pound fish on 6-pound line that it's going to break, because you got a whole lot of factors in there, the flexibility of the rod, your ability to play the fish, the condition of the line, whether it's got, abrasions on it whether or not you pull too hard or whether or not you've tied your knot right or something like that. And line can degrade after a period of a year. Most of that has to do with exposure to ultraviolet rays. So,
okay.
Light is the main killer of the polymers that are in the line, I believe. Now, I'm trying to remember all this. But anyway, I got into a big discussion with a guy online about it one time. But anyway, but fishing line will degrade over time, mostly because you use it, it gets nicked up, or it stays wound on your spool too often, and it develops what they call memory. It just comes out in a big coil. So it's really good to try and replace that line every year, year and a half, 2 years if you can. And of course dispose of it properly. But yeah, the difference in pound test, for example, I have some what they call braid line on one of my reels, and it's the diameter of, let's say, 6-pound test of monofilament, which is a line that's extruded from a plastic material,
okay.
Monofilament, one filament. I have a braided line, which is made up of a number of filaments braided together in a string, of course, and it's a diameter 6-pound test, but it's actually 30-pound breaking strength.
Oh.
So the test is breaking strength. Of course, when you put a knot in that line, then you tend to reduce that breaking strength at the point where the hook is. So people say, oh, my line broke. Well, that means that your knot failed, or it's a whole science into itself.
No.
I'd like to recommend Berkeley Fishing for one of the websites you might want to look at to learn about line. Look at some of the knot, fishing knot websites. Okay. You know, I think Berkeley has one. I think Stren has one. It's a whole big field when you start talking about the different polymers and the different, you know, fluorocarbon and monofilament and braid and, you know, all the different types of line. And you got to kind of experiment and figure out what works for yourself. If you want less strength, less stretch, then you want to go to a fluorocarbon. You know, if you want a clear line, then again, you got to go to a clear monofilament. If you want high visibility, there's high visibility line for fishing, you know, in turbid conditions like bright neon green or yellow or some of those lines. So, you know, it's a whole entity unto itself within the world of fishing.
So if somebody went fly fishing, for example, and then
that's an entirely different type of line.
Entirely different type of line.
Fly fishing line is a thicker line. You actually, the weight of the line is what carries the light fly out to the fish. Okay. It's not the weight of the lure on the end that pulls the line off the reel to go to the fish. It's the weight of the line that, you know, you've got so much line exposed in the air that the weight of the line pulls the leader and the light fly out to land on the water or in the water.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. And earlier listening to the show, you said to that gentleman who does the harbor fishing.
Yes.
A number six hook.
Yeah, it's for carp. Okay.
What does six mean on a hook?
Okay, on hooks, hooks are rated the larger the number, the smaller the hook.
The larger the number, the smaller the hook.
Yes, a number eight hook is smaller than a number six. A number eight is for trout. Number six is for trout, and then you get up into the
intuitive.
Yeah, you get up to the fours and the twos for the little larger species. You know, Chesapeake Bay fish primarily are going to take a larger hook than some of the freshwater panfish. But carp, because they have small mouths, and it's a different type of feeding apparatus that they use, want a small hook that they can suck up into their mouth with the bait. So,
I gotcha.
So the smaller the number, the larger the hook. Then when you get up into the bass fishing, you go from, let's say, a size number one to a 1/0, 1/0, 2/0, 3/0, 4/0. And those are the bigger, wider gap hooks for large and smallmouth bass that you use to rig plastic baits with because, you know, you need a bigger hook to rig the bait, you need a bigger hook to hook the fish.
Hence the largemouth bass.
Largemouth bass. Well, smallmouth and largemouth, I mean, it's incrementally the difference in the sizes of their mouth, you know, so.
Okay. Well, thank you for enlightening me.
All right. Well, it's fascinating to learn all this stuff, and I haven't learned it yet, so there you go.
Oh, okay.
And I've only been at it 58 or 59 years, so.
Yeah. Well, best of luck with the festivities.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, Dave. Thanks for holding on.
No problem.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. Mike in Halethorpe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Alan. How you doing? I got a Uber driver deer report for you.
An Uber deer report. Let's hear the Uber duber deer report.
Okay. Well, I usually call in. I was got to have the flat tire a while back. But
yep.
This one, it actually starts out with a joke. Like, the lady called. She was complaining to city council, cussed up one side, down the next. Because they put the deer crossing sign of the road.
Yeah, I remember that.
Over by our house.
Yep, I remember that.
My story is, I was driving along one of the back roads. I forget where I was. It may have been up in, like, towards Reisterstown, you know, backside, back at the Good Woodsy areas. And I was driving along, and I saw a deer crossing sign. And I was like, okay, well, I already know there's deer around here. No sooner across the sign, and I had my high beams on, there's a bunch of deer running right in front of me. I was like, okay, I really wish I had a video camera going. This would have been epic for the ages.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, there's a reason they put those signs there, and it's not because that's where they want the deer to be. That's where the deer actually do cross the road. It's a, you know, it's an eons old deer trail that comes down there, and they build a road across the deer trail. And the deer don't know that. They still use the same trail.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of them. There was definitely a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they are looking fat, happy, and, of course, the male wasn't chasing the female, so, you know, everybody was kind of plumping up again.
Got it. So, well, good. I'm glad to hear that, dear. Now, when was that?
Early report this last week.
Last week. Okay, cool. Well, we know the deer population in that area at least survived the hunting season for sure.
Oh yeah, the male and female are looking rather spry.
Rather spry. Well,
down and having a good time.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, the males don't have their antlers, or did they? Even at this late date?
No, there was a couple 3 and 4 pointers.
Really? So some of them still had their antlers. This is very, very late for deer to have antlers. So
yeah, they haven't shed off yet.
Okay, and then the does, of course, they're pregnant, so they're you know, they're doing what they do.
They're looking a little chunky.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate the Uber and Lyft driver report out there. Stay alert, Mike.
Always. They're everywhere.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, now.
Thank you. Yep. Bye bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I'm looking at a picture. We have a Black Widow recurve bow. This was the thing back in the day. It's a vintage bow. I mean, people still use them, but this is it. We've got one on the silent auction. Interesting. A lot of weird stuff. Cool stuff. You'll see today. You'll be up there. So, all right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. So, here's a question for you. What is causing the Bay's oyster population? What serious threats, in order, three serious threats to the Bay's oyster population? Three.
Lack of salinity?
Maybe.
Okay, so brackish water. I can't remember the disease.
MSX and Dermo.
Thank you.
Those two, okay.
And the third one, I can't even fathom what it might be.
Okay. Well, here I got an email that says, I feel your support out on the water. I feel your support out on the water.
Okay.
You wouldn't think it's like a fundraising letter or anything like that, would you?
No.
No. The Bay's oyster population is facing serious threats. Climate change.
Okay.
Number one.
And real quick, before you go into number two and three, where is this information coming from again? I can't quite make out the little design.
Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Okay. Say no more.
Climate change, number
okay.
one.
All right.
None of those things that you mentioned. Okay.
That's right. That would be logical. In fact, I know. What was I thinking?
Second thing is actually true. Pollution.
Okay.
To some degree. Doesn't say anything about sedimentation. Doesn't say anything about MSX and Dermo. Climate change, pollution, and over-harvesting. 1, 2, and 3 from Chesapeake Bay.
Okay.
MSX and Dermo wiped out 90% of the Bay's oysters.
Exactly.
Okay, 90%. There are virtually no oysters in the Upper Bay. Okay, you're not going to cure it. Can't fix it.
Nope. It is what it is.
It's endemic. Look up the word endemic. E-N-D-E-M-I-C. Okay? It's been around since, what, the 50s? I mean, really popularized in the 50s. I mean, It's been around, discovered, I think, 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's an oyster restoration program. So they're going to keep planting them. And all you got to do is send money. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We talked about Clyde Sports Shop. We talked a little bit about line with the... Dave, our caller, we're going to tell you about line. We're going to start with that. A Clyde Sports Shop sale, which ends tomorrow. So it's today and tomorrow. It's their 10-day sale, ready-to-rock sale. Premium line from 1 cent per yard. That's going to be your 4 6-pound test line, 1 cent a yard, and then up from there. But, you know, if it goes 2, 3, 4 cents on a regular basis, then you're going to save half. It's half price through tomorrow. Take in your empty spools. They'll spool a line on for you. Pen reels are on sale. The Pen 30LW, 30-weight reel to handle 30 to 50-pound line, is 80 level wind. LW is level wind. That means it has a little gear on the front that winds the line on. As you turn the handle, the gear runs back and forth and puts the line on the spool evenly. $89.95. Trolling combos from $89.95. And a Pen Warfare reel mounted on an Andy 20 to 50 pound rod, just $139.95. And that's their best selling trolling combo. Shakespeare rods and reels and Pfluger rods and reels are all on sale. Ugly Sticks are on sale. They carry the St. Croix rod brand if you like a little step up in your fishing rod and everything that you need for fishing, including live bait, rod and reel repair, and so forth, all the panfish tackle, trout tackle, and all that. All there at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, phone 242-6108, 410-242-6108, Clyde Sports Shop. Also has a 24-hour fishing hotline, 247, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 247-FISH, that's the number, 247-3474. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, you want to find out what's going on at the Maryland Sportsman Show this weekend? That's mdsportsmanshow.com. You just check that out in there. And I think they have a Facebook page, too, mdsportsmanshow.com. That'll tell you all the events. Today's a waterfowl calling competition. Tomorrow's a cornhole contest. It's all at the Howard County Fairgrounds, just off Exit 80 on Route 70. Exit 80 and Route 70. They're open today at 10 to 4. Tomorrow, 10 to 4 also as well. Of course, if you come to the benefit today, then you can go to the Sportsman Show tomorrow. Yeah. Matter of fact, we can give you a free ticket if you want one. Just ask. Come to the benefit, you want a free ticket to the Sportsman Show? We got them.
It's good time management if you come to the benefit today.
They come to the benefit today, we'll give them a free ticket tomorrow. For tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah. How you like that? Because we can't mail them out. So what are we going to do with them? Got some extras? So deal them out right there at the end. You want to go tomorrow? I'll give you a ticket. All right. It's just $8 to get in. The Maryland Sportsman Show. And if you'd like to check it out online, mdsportsmanshow.com. 100 vendors, 4,000 square feet of indoor space. Going to be full of stuff. I've talked to some vendors that have already set up. Linex is out there and some others. And so we're good to go. Oh, speaking of Linex, we'll talk about them when I'm done with this break. mdsportsmanshow.com.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I really love how you're eating.
Did I tell you, Chris, that the Hunting Coalition has included the beer on your ticket? You don't have to pay extra for the beer.
Yeehaw.
Claude, how are you today? And then we got Pat on the line. So hang on, and then Glenn in Chestertown. We'll get to everybody. What's up, Claude?
I'm good, buddy. Remember the guy with the crossbow that was in Carroll Park or something? He was asking you if he could carry it legally?
Not really.
He was talking about that big crossbow he wanted for hunting, but he was in Baltimore City in Carroll Park.
Okay. Yeah, it was about a week or two ago. A gentleman was thinking about buying one, and there was a question as to legally if he were to strap it on his back, because I think he was riding a bike.
There you go.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Any weapon that fires a projectile in Baltimore City is considered a handgun.
What?
Yep. Under Baltimore City local law.
Okay.
Ain't that stupid?
Well, you know, they have a right to pass any law they want.
Yeah, but that's kind of crazy. I mean, a crossbow is a crossbow. It's not a.
Well, it's certainly a deadly weapon. You can certainly take somebody out with it quietly.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think too many people are going to be running around like Geronimo out there with a crossbow. You know what I mean?
If Geronimo had a crossbow, we'd have all been in trouble, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. How does your wife make her crab cakes?
With crab?
Well, I knew you were going to say that. I mean, any way?
She's not here to defend herself, so I'm not going to get into that because I don't know the answer to that. I know she makes good ones, but I don't know how she puts them all together or what her secret ingredients are. So maybe we'll have her at another time share her crab cake recipe. How's that?
Yeah, because I wanted to try it.
Okay, that sounds good, Claude.
How's the gun bill going?
Gun bill was gutted. It's hard to say. We're coming up 2 weeks. We're coming up the end of session. We'll have more information next week as we know more.
I got you. They're still fighting John Hopkins police, so I don't know.
I know. So.
Unreal.
All right, buddy.
John, have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, man. See ya.
See ya, pal.
Bye-bye. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm 75 years old, and I don't
Congratulations.
The radio this time of the morning, but I happened to catch your show.
How long ago?
And,
just today?
It brought back all kinds of childhood memories. My grandparents used to have a summer cottage on the Seneca Creek
in
Baltimore County.
Yep.
And we used to put a trout line out. We had a live box at the pier.
Yep.
And I used to go out and crap. And we used to fish off of the edge of the pier, and we'd catch sunnies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd throw them into the live box to feed the crabs. We also went seining. We had a seine, and we went seining. And you just brought back a lot of memories to me this morning, and thank you.
My pleasure. This first, you've heard the show, Pat? Today?
Yes, I don't normally listen to the radio this time of the morning.
Well, I'm glad you.
I'll try to catch you in the future.
I'm glad you stumbled onto it. I've only been here 30 years.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've missed a lot of years then.
Probably the best part of it. We're in decline now.
Oh.
I've got a lot more experience though than I had 30 years ago.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was listening to you talking about this, you know, the size of the hook to put on the you know, to put on your line and all of that, and we didn't do that. We just took the hook and put it on the
whatever line. Was available. Of course, I get that.
Yes, but anyway, it's been very entertaining and informative. So
well,
thank
I appreciate
you.
That. Thanks, Pat. I'm glad you joined in today.
Thank you.
You have bye. A great day. Bye bye. There she goes. There's our buddy Glenn in Chestertown. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Doing well, buddy. How about you?
I'm here.
Oh, you're there? Okay, I get it. So
I think I'm Claude kind of took my thunder.
What's
asked about the stuff going on in the legislature.
Oh, the stuff in the... Well, you know, you never know the last minute. It's a complicated process, a very complicated process about how it all works. You know, it gets through one side, one chamber, it goes to the other chamber, you know, one has to approve the other. Generally what happens is, if it comes, you know, the consumer, you and I, the public, has basically one bite of the apple when we want to weigh in on a bill, and that's the day the bill is heard in committee. That's when anybody can go to Annapolis and testify, okay? So that's called first reader. They put the bill out, the committee presents it, or the sponsor presents it to the committee. The committee hears the bill. Now, they've read it, but they get it presented to them. And then the public says, we hate this or we love it. Please consider this. And at that point, then, the sponsor or the committee has the opportunity to amend the bill. Okay? Well, that's what happened in the gun bill. This gun bill came in there. It was 20 pages long or 14 pages long, okay? Members of the committee who were against the bill in the House, this is House Bill 786, said, this is insane. And they lost page 6 through 14, I believe. They just said, that's coming out. This registration, fingerprinting and this licensing for long guns and so forth. Long guns aren't a problem, you know, in crime. It's not these hunters with their, you know, long arms or rifles and their shotguns that are committing the crimes. It's not that. It's, you know, it's a criminal element that illegally obtains handguns that this bill's not going to affect anyway. But if you want to do something for long guns and you don't want to kill this bill, then at least we need to water it down. And you heard the delegate last week. The bill was watered down basically to include what they call secondary transfer. And it's called closing the, quote, gun show loophole. Okay? You know, if it used to be when you, I don't think it's allowed anymore, but because of the promoters, it used to be you could take your own gun to a gun show and walk around the gun show, pay your admittance fee, walk around the gun show with your gun on your shoulder with a for sale sign on it. Of course, you as a private individual, now you're competing with all the dealers there that are trying to sell firearms. If you go to a gun show, you cannot go to a dealer and buy a gun off the table without going through an instant background check. It's called the NICS check, National Instant Check System, run by the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Okay, but if you have that gun on your shoulder and somebody's interested in your gun, you go out to the parking lot and the guy says, hey, I like your 30-30, how much you want for it? And you say $250. And the guy says, well, I got $250 in cash. Let's go outside. You walk outside. He hands you the gun. You hand him the $250 and away you go. No check, no background check. Okay. So now you've got a gun on the street that we don't know who owns it. So, and if it's ever used to commit a crime, which it likely won't be, it'll go back to the guy that originally signed, you know, filled out the 4473 NICS check for it. Unless he got the gun from his grandparents or his parents who never filled out a 4473 and they bought the gun across the counter. Okay? You know, when you didn't have to do that back in the day. So, anyway, regardless, they're trying to fill that gap there that says, you know, we want to know who owns all the firearms, you know, and if you do a secondary transaction, if you're going to sell the gun to somebody, you need to go to a dealer and you need to get a dealer to fill out the paperwork for the new owner of the gun. That's it. That's it right now. So here's what happens, okay, right now under the law. If we get a gun donated for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, okay, a dealer sometimes will transfer that gun to an RFFL dealer who happens to be Brownstone Trading. Thanks, Brad and Wilma, for helping us out with that. So they'll trade their FFL licenses via fax or mail or, you know, whatever, and they'll send the gun directly to the other dealer, okay? Now, sometimes they'll say, well, I can't let you take this gun. And I say, well, that's fine. Do you want me to fill out the paperwork? And they'll say, yeah, I need you to fill out a 4473. So I fill out a 4473. Do it all online. You do it all on laptop now. You don't have to, no paperwork, no written paperwork. You fill out the 4473. You go through the NICS instant check, and it says, okay, Mr. Ellis, you're approved to take the firearm. I walk, I take the gun with me. When I want to give that to somebody at the Hunting Coalition, I transfer it to our FFL dealer. I give them my driver's license. They say, okay, here, you know, we're receiving the gun into our inventory from Mr. Ellis. And when that gun gets, you know, raffled off or somebody wins it or something like that, then that person goes to the FFL dealer. And the gun that I purchased, allegedly, with my 4473, you know, that was donated to the coalition and my signature's on it. Now that's been transferred to our FFL dealer. The FFL dealer then does another instant background check on the person receiving the gun. Is that a secondary transfer? Yeah, in a manner of speaking, it is. But that's how I go through the process for the coalition. The gun goes directly from me to the FFL dealer to the end user who gets the background check. Okay? That's a secondary transfer. That's what they're trying to eliminate, me handing the gun to somebody at a coalition benefit, which I would never do. So, okay?
Right.
Got it? Without a paper trail.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's complicated, but, you know, I went through a big, long explanation. We won't know till the end of the day what they're going to pass till they pass it. So I suspect some of that will happen this week and maybe not till the last day, sine die. You never know till the end. At the end of the day, you can write your letters, you can send your emails, you can go down and testify, you can submit your written testimony, you can do all that. But at the end of the day, we don't vote. We elect the people to vote for us. If they don't listen to us, then the next trip around, goodbye. If they listen to us, did a good job, welcome back. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. The thing of it is, they just don't, in a way, they're doing things to, against their own selves, even.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Catch you later.
All right, buddy. Thank you. See you. Bye-bye. Very complicated. Uh-oh.
Catch you later. All right, buddy. Thank you. See you.
Sorry for the dead air, folks. We're trying to figure out the phones. I pressed the button.
Is that what I am?
Yeah, no, I pressed Glenn's button, apparently, and Glenn, I didn't hang up on Glenn, and I should have pressed your button, Sharon, but Chris was talking to you at the time. And, you know, I'm not a high-tech redneck. I'm technically
neither am I.
Illiterate.
Less every day.
So how can I help you, Sharon?
Well, I was just concerned about when you were talking about the oysters in the ocean and all that, and some of my sources, of course, give information about the algae being completely gone, just dead, almost 90% or more. And
algae or oysters?
Algae. And, of course, it's killing the animals, and they're dying off.
Wait. You said that the algae's 90% dead.
Uh-huh. That's my sources. But I saw an article, which is what I called about, too, that they're now serving gene-edited food in a restaurant chain, and they won't tell where the restaurant is and what the chain is. They're testing it out on people. So that seafood or whatever thing it is being served to people now as a test somewhere.
Can I
mean, every time we find out things like that, we find out it's been going on a while, so it could be anywhere.
Sharon, are you concerned about genetically modified food?
Well, sure I am, but, you know, I hear people saying they got this fish and that fish and whatever, and then, of course, I'm also hearing that they couldn't possibly be real fish. So, you know, it concerns me because I worry about people not knowing what's in the food.
Well,
and just because it looks the same, you know, it may not be.
Sure.
So when I saw that about the restaurant, they're being tested on, and nobody knows if it goes in there. But what they're eating, you know.
But they won't. They won't tell you what restaurant. So what? What was the source of this article about genetically modified food being served in a restaurant?
Well, that you have to look up because I went through a couple of things. Of course, one source is geoengineeringwatch.com, and it talks about the algae part. But I
say it again. You said it too quickly. What was it again?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What was something? What was your source?
The algae part is given in an alert that goes on.
From what? From where?
Geoengineeringwatch.com.
Can you hear her? You're saying the letters too fast. Say it again.
Geoengineeringwatch, one word. .com.
Geoengineering.
And there's an alert up.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry.
I'm trying to write. Geoengineeringwatch.com.
Uh-huh, right. And he gives an alert every Saturday, so I'm waiting for it today.
I see.
But that's about the state of the ocean being so bad.
Uh-huh.
And the other article, I'm not sure now. I think I heard it on CBN, but I'm not sure. Because I went through a lot of articles then, and I saw that one, which makes me even more concerned about, you know, because it's going to blossom out to other places, and people are going to be eating food that's genetically altered or genetically made.
Right.
Mentioned the oysters.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Okay. If you have... let's say, two different types of corn grown in two different types of two different places in the world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even East Coast, West Coast, or whatever it might be. You have two different
species of corn,
that's the word, okay? And one is more resistant to a certain type of disease, and the other one is weaker. Okay, but the yield is better. And you take species A that's more resistant and breed it to species B, which is grows better and bigger kernels and tastes better, okay? And you put the two together and you come up with a hybrid. Would you eat that? It's both corn. Would you eat that?
Well, these days I wouldn't eat corn at all unless it's organic. And that's me, because
Wait. What does organic mean?
Well, there's a legal term for that.
Well, what is it?
So people would have to...
What is it?
I can't tell you that because I can't quote things like that, but
okay, so
people can look it up.
To me, organic means it's grown without pesticides.
No, there's a whole lot more to it than
that,
but
okay.
I can't tell.
Okay, so you will... Okay. Well...
Well, I just said, you know, I was concerned when I heard about that because I hear people talking about that. And I also heard a show on Coast to Coast where there was a person talking about how there's no real seafood anywhere on the planet right now.
No, there isn't.
Poison.
Say it again. There's no real seafood anywhere that's not been poisoned.
Right, by the chemicals.
I can understand that. I mean, we have warnings. Maryland Department of Environment, have you ever gone on their website and looked at the seafood warnings? You haven't?
I think you have them on every now and then, don't you?
Every now and then, yeah.
Well, I mean, I listen to all the guests that you have on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Every now and then we talk about that, yep. So, Sharon, I'm so sorry that you are... so overwhelmingly concerned about this, and that you're reading some of the... Now, let me ask you about this guy, this geoengineeringwatch.com.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ask you for money?
No.
Okay. Just checking. I'll check that. I'll check that out. I will. I'll check it out. So, but I understand.
Well, you know,
I understand.
About people. That's all I'm concerned about. So, you know, when I hear something like that, if I know people that are eating GMO food, I also know a lot of people close to me that get very sick and ill from that. So,
and I'm wait. You, people that are close to you get sick from eating genetically modified food.
Uh huh.
Okay.
They do. Very sick.
Okay.
They have digestion problems and intestinal problems and
sure.
all kind of allergies and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Do they drink diet soda?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. So I can guarantee you that there's probably more chemicals in diet soda that can affect you gastronomically in one glass than all the GMO food that they eat in their lives.
I think in the stores it's also called meat, and it doesn't have anything other than that label.
I see. Are you a vegetarian, Sharon?
No.
You're not. Okay.
No.
Where do you get your meat?
I really don't want to get that on the air. I mean, that's their business.
Okay. Sharon,
you know,
thank
very
you.
Careful about that.
Sure. Thank you for your call. You have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye-bye. We've got some topics for some upcoming shows. Don't we, Chris? Mm-hmm. Right now, though, I think I'm going to go get a Scrapple sandwich.
And don't forget to throw a couple pieces of bacon on top of
bacon
that.
Bacon and some big old fat juicy eggs.
There you go.
410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. This will be the last commercial you will hear for Clyde's 10-day sale. Because 10 days is up tomorrow, and this will be our last commercial for it. So here you go. It's the ready-to-rock sale at Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And you know what? I've been advertising a 10-day sale that was over last week, Chris. I just looked at the dates.
Oh, I bet you they love you down there at Clyde's.
I wasn't
guess paying. Who's paying for
I,
all
I
this now,
pay
Alan?
Attention. Oh, my gosh. Guess what? The 10-day sale was over last Sunday at Clyde Sports Shop. I think we did this. Oh, yeah.
But don't let that stop you from going there
oh, gosh,
at all. They've
no,
got
no.
so much good stuff.
Who's doing this commercial, Chris? You or me? You want to finish? Where are they located?
Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne.
What's the address? Okay. What's the phone number?
I just know the fishing hotline number.
Which one's that?
247-FISH.
Boy, I'm good. If you can remember that. Man, I screwed up. Well, anyway.
I'm trying to help you out.
I know. I just looked at the date. I'm like, well, that was over last Sunday. Well, anyway, if you heard about the sale at Clyde Sports Shop, it was over last week. Anyway, go in and tell them how funny it was. We'll be fine. Anyway, the fishing hotline is 247-FISH. Everything you need for fishing, you've heard about it all. Clyde Sports Shop in Lansdowne, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. All right. Moving on, Chris. Oh, he's got a phone. He's got a phone call. Well, let me tell you about the Maryland Sportsman Show. That does end tomorrow. Sorry, folks. I take it all back. Clyde is a great place, but not on sale. MD Sportsman Show, Maryland Sportsman Show. That is available at the Howard County Fairgrounds this weekend, today and tomorrow. Today's waterfowl calling competition, tomorrow's cornhole contest. And there's also a National Wild Turkey Federation calling competition in there somewhere, but you can check all that out on the website
MDSportsmanShow.com, MDSportsmanShow.com, if you'd like to go. They open at 10 today and tomorrow, end at 4 both days. The Howard County Fairgrounds is located just off exit 80, right there along Route 70. You'll see the big fairgrounds when you get there. MD Sportsman Show, today and tomorrow at the Howard County Fairgrounds. And if you want to see who's all there, over 100 vendors and 40,000 square feet of exhibit space inside, go to the website, mdsportsmanshow.com.
It'll be clear and cold as we start off this week, and plenty of sun in the afternoon hours, but at times some gusty winds out of the west and northwest, as high as 20 to 30 miles per hour. The high today will hit 52. That's about 4 degrees below average for this first weekend of spring. And then a clear sky tonight as the low dips down to 32. A little bit warmer tomorrow with a mix of clouds and sunshine and an afternoon high of 61. Clouds will increase into Monday, and with a front closing and some showers will pop up with a high in the upper 50s. I'm Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bed Liner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bed Liner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll.
What a fine day to go fishing today. Keep your hat on.
Ice fishing.
No, it's windy out there. Did you go? We went across the bay yesterday. I fought the truck the whole way across the bay. I mean, it was headwinds the whole way, and I mean, bay was just booming, bumping.
And that's a big truck, too.
Yeah, it's a big truck. It was full of stuff.
Yeah.
Loaded with stuff for the benefit today.
Yeah.
Crossbows and guns. And
you had to fight it, so the wind was definitely a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. All right. Let's talk. Hey, don't forget, it is the benefit today for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. It's at Westminster, at Martin's in Westminster. They're on Germer Lane. They're up behind the shopping center there, J-E-R-M-O-R. You can Google Martin's Westminster, and you'll find it easily. Well, that's a very well-known landmark up there. Great food, great company, a couple hundred people showing up, and we're going to give away a lot of guns and bows and crossbows, and then we have games and raffles and tickets and coolers and hunting trips and fishing trips. All of that's going to go away today. Somebody's going to walk away with all kinds of good stuff, art prints and
you know, we got, I think we have three custom knives, you know, that men have donated, you know, done, hand done and donated to the event. So it's all good. Stop by. If you want to call me or email me is the best. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And I see Larry's on the email there. I think he's coming. And there's a couple more emails. But let's talk to John about talking. John in Brooklyn Park. Good morning, John. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I wish I was out on my boat right now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you'd be up in the air more than you'd be in the water, that's for sure.
Oh, I'll be hiding up in them coves, catching them rockfish.
Sure you would.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I listened to a guy earlier saying he was catching all these rockfish around the harbor.
Yep.
Man, I tell you, a lot of people talk about that area. It's no good. That place is popping.
Oh, I know.
That place is popping. And them rivers, if you can get up in them shallows, oh, my goodness. Great time. Great
oh, yeah.
Time.
Yep, no question.
You know? But, hey, like last year I called up the DNR people, and they told me to call the environmental people. They were going to check the water, right, because there was all kind of signs all around the pier and the dock. And all
yeah.
This about it. So I called them up, and they want to know my input. And about a week after that, I called them up, there were these guys standing in the shadows with these little jars on a stick, checking this water, right? And
that's how they do it.
Yeah, well, I didn't never know it, but I go out there, and they send me a damn letter, a big old envelope, telling me the water's fine, and there's a little mercury in it, but, you know, that's in all the water everywhere, you know?
Right.
But, just letting the people know out there, it's some great fishing out there. I've been fishing for years, and it's getting better. These rockfish are coming in, eating them big fish, chasing them around.
No, man, you make it sound exciting there, John. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad it's good, man. I'm really glad.
Yeah, but a lot of people say, oh, it's no good down there. They just don't know how to fish.
And you do. Yeah. All right, on that, we're going to end it. John, thank you so much for the call. Enjoy. Call from time to time. Let us know the fishing report, will you?
Will do.
All right.